Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We're finally here. It is the season finale of season one of Black Lightning. We got Jennifer throwing people around. We need you to protect your thumbs because they're not safe. And we finally get some backstory, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We had to honor Beyoncé and the best steps she's ever stepped in her entire life.
Yeah, I just want to do it.
Get it, hit it.
Hey.
She had doll steps in this. I was like, I've watched all the videos. The baton twirler is my new goddess. Yeah, like, I don't even know what's happening.
Joelle and I watched it together, and it was an emotional roller coaster.
It was a bonding moment in our sisterhood, to be honest.
No, I seriously watched it with my makeup artist friend, like in her car in front of my apartment for 2 hours.
We sat in front of her in her car for two hours
watching the video.
When we was watching it, me and my friend, and we had to transfer to her phone real quick. But it was right in the middle of when the guy were on the stairs dancing.
No!
So I was like, okay.
Okay.
The twins dancing.
They're so amazing.
They're bomb.
Speaking of being bomb, guys, it's the season finale. Yeah. We're finally here.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even sad. We got renewed the writers just yesterday. Monday. Monday, the writers stepped in the room to start writing season two, so they're back in the game, like, getting started. I'm happy. Like, it was a really solid ending, too.
I'm so happy.
I need you to reel some of that in.
So, in case you don't know who we are, that's weird because you should have been watching this whole season with us. I'm Drew. I'm with my girls Shay, Joelle, and Portia.
Hey.
Ladies, initial thoughts of this episode.
This episode was so bomb. I love Jen. She has been my favorite character all season. You know, she has been going through this little thing where I'm like, girl, you gotta, you know, get in the game. Perk up. And she did.
Come full circle as a family. You know, we started off broken, not sure of the future, and we ended with everybody's on the same page.
Everybody's here incredible. To protect Friedland. It was really nice. I thought I liked where it went, and I thought we set up nicely for season two.
Yeah.
Shay.
For me, there's so many things in this episode I loved and I was obsessed with. I was like, my hands went up close, like, that's how you do it. And all the soundtrack was amazing. Yeah, it didn't even hurt. That's how Black Lightning gets me right now. Anyway, but what I also love, though, mostly all of our predictions that we've made came true in this one episode. And it was just like, Drew said that, I said that, Portia said that, Joelle said that, and I'm very vindicated today.
Tobias ain't there.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree, though. This episode, I personally, and I'm going to say, I feel like this is the best season finale out of any of the DC TV shows that have been on CW. I feel like this was the best season finale we've seen of season ones out of all of them. And y'all can fight me on that.
Seriously, of all CW superhero shows, this is the best season one finale?
Yes.
Okay, I want to get all of those caveats in.
Yes.
Think about that for a minute. I don't know. Flash season one had a really solid ending.
Let's not go through the line.
I'm just saying. No, we're here. We're on the show. We potentially have a crossover. Don't let that happen, CW. No. I will be so mad. Especially after Stephen Amell's blasphemous words against Beyonce this weekend. Let's not go there.
You can't be on Black Lightning, friend.
You're not allowed now. Seriously, the Hive will not allow it.
He tried to come for Beyonce. It's fine.
The Beyhive took care of it, so we're all good.
Oh,
but just
Walmart
don't.
Batman.
But I would say if it's not number one, it's in the top two for sure. I'd have to rewatch to confirm.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it because we have so much to talk about. Okay, so we finally kind of get the origin of Jeff and Gambi and how really it all came to be.
I love it. Do you feel like Gambi vindicated himself, Portia?
So here we go again.
I would just come for you every time.
I mean, and I'm going to give you the same answer every time. I left that where it was at back a couple of episodes ago when I said he was in a good zone, and he stayed there. That's that. I don't have any more comments on him.
Wow.
I was going to say, for me and myself, I made a lot of predictions about Gambi and what might have been going on. I knew for a fact that Gambi did not try to get anybody killed after going straight. He was like, pull yourself out of this situation. I'm trying to help you. No one was supposed to go to jail. You were just supposed to, like, let some of the air out so kids would stop dying. I'm not mad at Dad for doing what he had to do. I'm just saying it wasn't Gambi's fault. I also now fully agree with Gambi's assessment that we could not have told Jeff any sooner about his powers. I couldn't have come to you. I couldn't have told you these things. It does you no good. How am I supposed to even begin to, like, you're a one-off. I can't guide you through this until you start going through it. So Gambi, my main man, he was vindicated.
I concur. What were you going to say, Chad?
I feel the same way. I felt I was right, because I feel like, his dad is like what he wanted Jeff's father to do, and what he actually did wasn't two in the same. It wasn't one in the same. He did something totally different than what needed to be done.
You know what's
What needed to be done is definitely debatable.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I think is interesting though. I definitely see where Jefferson gets a lot of what yes. he is, because it's like, obviously, like, we see his dad's a very emotional, like, heart over head. That's not what your heart is. heart over head type of guy. We see, obviously, how that is also Jefferson's thing. We see where Jefferson gets his little phrase from.
Yeah.
His dad was very much kind of a, he kind of gave me, like, MLK vibes. You know, in a sense where they, everyone wants to say he's a peaceful man, peace, but it was like, sometimes getting peace, you can't be peaceful.
Yeah.
There were some similarities there, I thought, where like sometimes like.
But people, he's saying that after the fact.
Yeah. You know. But I'm saying like whenever people look back at MLK, they always want to talk about how peaceful he was, and like, homeboy had to do some things sometimes.
Particularly toward the end of 10 years of marching and being like, oh, for real white people? Okay.
Yeah.
Patience is low.
I mean, like, he wasn't a martyr. He was murdered. Like, it's a different thing, you know? And I feel like we kind of see, there are some parallels there, I feel like, with Jefferson's dad. And
a lot of parallels. He's just like him. Everything that he does, everything that he says, the way he teaches his children, and then the way that he saves the community, because his whole reason for getting murdered was because he, you know, went out on his emotions and did something that Gambi told him not to do, and it was all for the sake of, it needs to be let out about these kids because they dying because of this vaccine they giving them. And then it was personal to him too. He gave his son the vaccine, and it flashback, and he already knew that Jefferson had powers. Like, he already knew the whole deal, and he just like, I don't know how my son's gonna come back from this, and I can't even tell him.
Well, quick question, okay, because you said that the vaccine, when Proctor's talking about, you know, how that they have to stabilize these pod babies. He's talking about they need Jefferson because they need his DNA because he, like, held. Gambi later on says it's because they're metahumans, which is different because metahumans get their powers organically. Mm-hmm. So is Jefferson a metahuman, or is he, like, the pod babies?
My understanding of this was that In the first round, what happened was they got injected with something which changed their chemical makeup, which allowed them to become organically metahuman.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because his dad mentioned that it was given to him. The vaccine was given to him. It wasn't something that just grew out of him.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then if you look at Cyanide too, like, she had surgery, or even at Gen's X.
Khalil Killmonger.
Yes. For sure, baby Killmonger for life. They had to have surgeries in order to enhance their powers, in order for him to have the venom, whereas Jefferson and then his girls, you know, just all comes from within.
Yeah. I love that we got backstories or how people came to be. Like, we got a lot of people. We got Cyanide. We got kind of found out how Tobias, like, what Tobias had to do to get his strength and his aging. Mm-hmm. You know, we found out about Jefferson. We saw Gambi. Like, I like that they tied up all these little loose ends before the season was up.
It was nice to see Jefferson as a kid, especially as a hot-headed kind of, like, is street youth the word I want to use? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I liked seeing,
he was just like Jen.
Yeah.
Breaking limbs because they trying to fight him.
But also, like, a lot of the boys that we see him stop and take a moment to talk to or work with throughout this season. Mm-hmm. I want to say there's maybe four or five different kids that he has very direct interactions with and is trying to help. And all of them had, like, tones of Jefferson at that same age, and I thought that was really unique and kind of cool to see. I liked it.
He was a great kid, though. I mean, for punishment, he had to read the Constitution. That's a good kid. Because my punishments wasn't nothing like that.
Ain't no punishment.
Mine were things like that. Like, my parents made me do all kinds of stuff like that. So I was like, I see you. Mm-hmm. I see what's going on here. The cyanide backstory I thought was really interesting. That she essentially was found.
I mean, like, she still looked malnourished, okay?
I cannot.
She looked good, but regular.
She was found in a dumpster with an umbilical cord wrapped around her neck, which is like, she literally was a dumpster baby. Like, that's pretty savage.
And then got did wrong in the orphanage.
And then, so she has carbon fiber under her skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, what did I call it last week? What's the fake grass turf. Called? Turf. It's not turf.
Or a turtle.
Yeah,
shell.
But he said that she wasn't evil until the pain from the carbon fiber started affecting her, and then she became evil.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really interesting perspective.
She, yeah, because she kept on telling Khalil, like, pain feels good and blase, mm-hmm. blase. Like, it makes you turn into this person, and she's so right.
But even on top of that, the way the show has depicted how people become, they use the term evil, but I don't know if I believe in evil. But there's, like, the idea that you turn and become a different human being through adversity, through a lot of chaos and pain. And also how you can turn that and use it to become a good human being, the way Jefferson did. Like, Jefferson literally saw his dad die in a very horrible way in front of him mm-hmm. and made a lot of choices not to become that way. And I thought that's kind of what Gambi was trying to convey to Jennifer early on when he was like, look, girl, I know you had a Jones for Khalil, but that's dead now. That is not the same person that you were dealing
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I respected that. I really did. There was it's something like, you know, when his dad was saying about being peaceful isn't always about peace, but it's also the same saying as everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Because, everybody wants to go to heaven, but you don't want to die to go there. Everybody wants to live. Or if they do die, like, they're afraid of it. Death scares people.
Jaw feel. Jaw feel.
What does that mean?
It just means, like, I feel you.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
Jaw feel.
No, I never heard it either.
I think I got it from 21 Jump Street, if we're being honest.
There you go.
So while Jefferson's in a coma this entire time that we're getting these flashbacks.
Yeah.
And so while that's all going on, you know, we see Tobias in the aftermath of what happened in the school, and we see Khalil apologize for killing Black Lightning. And I thought it was really interesting that Tobias was like, you're painkiller, don't apologize. Do we think he's trying to...
Tobias wants generals, and he needs them. And I feel like he killed his last one for not protecting his sister, because that's kind of the rule of the land. So I feel like that's what he's kind of, like, training him to do. He's like, look, you're about to be on these streets representing me, and I need you not to be apologizing to anyone.
Yeah, because when you have an unapologetic mindset, you don't care. You give no F's about anything. Everybody is up for grabs.
Though I feel like now, after that situation, he's going to try to get faster with those little darts just in case it comes back to a situation where Sana has a gun pointing at him and see who's faster.
Right. I mean, he was on that hallway though. Without breaking a sweat. He was like, yeah, you're dead and then you die. And pretty much
he doesn't even have to press no buttons. He just goes,
yeah,
and they out of there. And I'm just like, here.
So they've decided it's not like, unfortunately, Black Lightning's dead. But, air quotes, but, you know, that just means, it's fine, that just means we gotta speed up the plan, Proctor's gotta go now. Mm-hmm. So who do we bring in but poor, does anyone kind of feel bad for Lala?
No, not even a little bit.
I wanna know, okay, the thing about Lala is,
he was an experiment.
I don't feel bad for him, however, I also don't feel like that's the end of Lala. Like, you don't introduce us to the tattoo man that way just for him to be gone. Like, he's coming back, and hopefully without the whole the devil's in the car thing, and now he's going to get his own revenge against Tobias. And I'm looking forward to that if that happens in season two.
He was resurrected once. No body, no death is an incredible TV rule. We did not see a body. They said they had no way of knowing if he blew up, which I found really interesting.
The bomb was in his throat. What you mean you don't know?
But it was also on a timer thing. So we don't know how the bomb worked. Did he swallow the bomb? Was able to release it? He was in a closed room, but I don't know if he has additional powers. But I didn't see a body. I don't know if he's dead. Yeah. That is my very solid rule.
Well, Sky last week told us, you know, this is definitely Tattoo Man. They call him Tattoo Man in this episode, which was exciting. Mm-hmm. And we find out that Tobias paid a good $1 million for a reanimation program. I'm still kind of hoping there's some voodoo reanimation program is fancy way of saying some voodoo. Because I really want that. I really want
the vaccine and the venoms and all this stuff together, and then it created him. That was his. Remember, that was his little insurance policy for Lady Eve.
Yeah, I really want the albino magic thing to still be heavily tied in. I thought that was an interesting concept.
I really don't.
It probably is.
You don't want it. I really don't. I think because the only representations we have of albinos tends to be mixed up in like voodoo and magic and stuff.
That's fair.
And I really liked the idea that they were using that as a tool of torture for him early, with Lady Eve like sending him like ground up albino bones, and the idea that that is hurtful in a multitude of ways, and the idea that he's just kind of kick ass, like he's science, he's gotten like big, he can fight now, but then also how much money does he have? Because he's rogue now. He's not working with any of the larger organizations.
Yeah.
He's still the one. You just had
$1 million. Yeah, but still $1 million for on one person.
But he been in this game for we don't know how many years. He don't age. He ain't old. I mean, he probably old on the inside, but he not old on the outside.
He's old
so
in years, not
he probably got money stuck up from when he worked in the government. You know what they be keeping bands.
Tobias have?
I didn't say that.
But, like, every other episode was called, like, The Resurrection. So I feel like if that Lala is coming back, it's because it's not just, like, the resurrection just one day I'm coming back once. Oh, no, I got a couple more times in me to come back in a resurrection in the field.
And I feel like Tobias told him, like, you're going to see everybody that you killed until your body's covered. And I don't think he would have said that knowing he's about to send Lala in to get blown up if Lala wasn't going to come back. So I also don't think he'd spend a mil to have a failed
experiment.
No, to have like a failed attempt, like
just to make a bomb.
Attempt. Yeah,
$1 million bomb is expensive, guys. It blows up, you can't do anything with it again. I agree.
Lala probably somewhere trying to figure out how to turn this little phrase off in his brain, or how, you know, when he become a puppet, the devil deals the cards. He probably trying to figure out how to go turn that off, try to get some vaccines, so that don't work no more because he can't do nothing without it.
You know
it.
What Lala could use? Use this podcast that we have, guys.
Yeah.
Fun. If you want to learn like Lala needs to learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those of you who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, maybe how to decode phrases in your brain, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us, the Black Lightning After Panel, that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
You know who I officially really rock with? Lynn.
Lynn
did the damn thing.
When
this episode.
Picked up that shotgun, I said, "Oh, mama, it's here. I'm here for you."
I told y'all she was ready.
Jen Eyes, like, it was just like, it was. I love Jen Eyes in the background of it.
She was like, "I've been hunting before. Right. Like, it's gonna be fine. Don't even worry about that, baby."
She was like, "We out here. What's up? What's good?"
So I just believe that I told y'all she wanted to be a part of this fighting the crime thing. You know, even though she ain't got them powers yet, because, you know, she said her and Jeff got a little connection. So maybe when he's sending them electricity bolts through her body, he is going to make her do something. You know, I don't know. But until she gets them powers or takes some of that little vaccine, she's going to be out here shooting mugs.
I hope they keep her human. Mostly because, one, I find it an interesting aspect of how do you as a human raise metahuman babies? Even though they're, you know, and this is mostly grown and Jen is on her way, I still feel like that's a really interesting dynamic. I also think that she brings a lot to them just by being a doctor, by being able to, like, being able to coordinate. I'm telling you, she's got to be their oracle. Like, I need Gambi in the back, like, patching people up, like, getting through the systems, breaking things down. And then she's, like, on the side, like, let me get you this inside information. Let's test your medical stuff. Or Night Nurse. You know, there's a lot of people we could compare her to, but I feel like that's going to be her role.
I feel like some of the best DC characters are the ones that aren't metahumans, and I want Lynn to not be a metahuman. Mm-hmm. At least, I mean, like, maybe down the road, but I want a good couple of seasons where we have her, like you said, kind of like our oracle.
I'm ready for her to get in with this.
Some people in the chat are just like, that's why she's going to be ready for the VP.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Take her out. One hit a quick.
Listen, y'all. We saw Sky's guns, though. I don't know. I don't want no smoke.
Hey, look, bring that smoke on, okay? I'm ready.
That would be a fight for the ages. Like, it will go down.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and they both need to be human for that. Let's see that smackdown.
I agree. So we find out Proctor's not actually really a part
of the ASA anymore.
Like, well, he is, but like not for this mission, I'm assuming.
He is. He's going behind their backs to do what he's doing right
now.
But
it's not an ASA mission.
Yes. No. He's breaking code. He's doing what he want to do, and he ain't let them in on it.
Such great news.
Right?
Yeah, no, excellent news, because now we're not dealing with a billion-dollar organization who's ready to have an arms race of metahumans. We're dealing with one guy obsessed that we can very easily take out. Word up, Gambi. He did that.
Yeah, Gambi was like, y'all not going to do it? All right.
I am a monster.
I think
he protected him from that, because he said a long time ago that he didn't want Jefferson to be a killer, because he was like, that's a line you can't cross, which is cool, because now Gambi's our Gunsmoke. Like, oh, you thought you... Cute. We're just going to take Gambi after you. We will kill you. You cannot continue to do this.
No, I loved it. It was just like... Everybody's just standing there just like, yeah, you keep talking all this much. Like, everybody else not going to have to lift a finger but me. And I love that Gambi's like you said, is going to be the Gunsmoke. Like, no matter what, like, he doesn't want Jeff or Jen or even Anissa. Lynn, you can't say you didn't kill nobody now. Because you did.
Lynn sure did. She took him down.
However, I feel like that, like when you need something to go away, Gambi's going to be that one you call.
I do wish the CW would allow squibs. Like, I don't, like, for those who don't know, squibs are the packs of blood that explode so it looks like the actor is bleeding when they die. Excessive gun violence without seeing the actual ramifications of it really bothers me, especially in our society right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you're not going to be able to dispose of that body like that. Like, there's blood, there's going to be a blood trail, someone needs to come in here with some Clorox. Like, there's a lot of steps to cleaning up a murder that we didn't get in here. It bothers me a little.
Ivan in the chat, I think this is kind of interesting. Apparently, the writers have said that there will be, like, effects, or there'll be aftermath to Lynn killing. Like, she's going to have a hard time dealing with it.
Interesting.
So I'm interested to see that crossover into season two and see where that kind of, like, leads her.
As a doctor, she did take that Hippocratic Oath that says that she will not harm others.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, she protecting her family. Like, they trying to come in for her people.
Or just that try to tell a judge to convict this woman.
No, I'm so serious. If for my family, I will take you out. Please come up in this house.
Speaking of taking people out. Jennifer.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Woo! My girl came home today.
Hey, when she picked Proctor up and slammed him down, I rewind that like 10 times. I had to keep watching it over and over. I said, what? And then she hit him with the...
She's like, whatever.
No.
Who cares?
Like, no.
Bro, like, I told y'all that I was going to be hype when she came into her power. And so I'm real hype for her because, you know, she did that. Like, my thing is, I knew that she was going to be out here resurrecting people. And she gave her daddy his powers back.
She literally was a generator this episode. Yeah. Like, just like, you know, in the comics, like, she was the epitome of a generator. She... came over and lit him up real quick, and then he had them back.
She's like, no, I have to do more. Like, I have to keep going.
Yeah, I loved everything about her, and I don't want her, like, maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I don't want her to suit up quite yet. I like what we kind of, this, like, dynamic we have with her right now, where...
In her school uniform?
I was going to say,
actually,
it's very, K-pop drama or, like, anime style for her to just be running around in a school uniform, like, destroying people. And if we had a whole season of that, of her being like, I'm not sure, but just coming across incidences where she's like, I should help here, though.
Yeah, they gonna
I'll be dope with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I obviously, for safety reasons, want her in a suit, but just like, but I would also want Lynn in a suit. I want everybody who possibly could get
Lynn gonna be
in
a suit. Helmet. I'm trying to tell y'all, she gonna be out here.
Maybe we get a helmet. Yeah, maybe so pointedly pointed out today, like, your head is not bulletproof.
But I don't want it to be super family yet. I kind of like how Jen and Lynn work off of each other, and I want to see that, just like we've gotten to see Anissa and Jefferson flourish this season. I want to see Jen and Lynn.
Cute.
I want to see them kind of like build their dynamic, and I want to see, you know, her work kind of like behind the scenes and then come out when she needs to.
For sure. What I loved about Jen this like, there was many reasons to love Jen about Jen this episode. What I really love, and she was like, she took almost what Anissa said to her, and really, like, in that moment, she, like, it hit her. Like, they really think they're gonna run us out. They don't know the Pierce family.
Yeah.
They're about to find out who we are today.
Okay, yeah. But let's hold and pause real quick. And just, like, as adults who might potentially one day have families look at these situations. Because I was for sure with Gandhi of like, perhaps, because at this point we do not know that this is a rogue operation. No, I hear what you're saying. Like, the righteous thing to do is to go out there and fight and protect your city and like stake your turf and let them know, like, you can't mess with me like this. And oftentimes, especially in times of war, like, that's a solid move. On the flip side, like, getting in a van and, like, disappearing for a little bit, regrouping, gaining some, you know, reconnaissance, like, let's get some intelligence and understand what it is we're dealing with here, is not always a bad option.
But that's what they did, though.
They did not. They did not
do that.
They
thought about it. That's what it was.
They were in the house. They were like, here they are. We could leave. We're not gonna. We're gonna fight.
Right. Then, because at the end of the day, protect my turf. Like, no, you don't know me. You run up in here, you're gonna get got. That's what they did. And I'm with that. Like, if you're coming for me, let me handle you and then take my piece. Because at the end of the day, you're gonna be trailing me if I don't.
Look, if for some reason in an alternate universe,
quitters never
Drew
win.
Drew was a part of a person. Quitting is not. Taking a step back does not mean quitting. Going full on and wrong into things, especially a potentially billion-dollar funded government secret property. I'm just gonna put it this way. If SEAL Team 6 decides to take you out, you're done. Right? There's not much you can do. These guys are supposed to be better than SEAL Team 6. All I'm saying.
But who has been better than Thunder and Black Lightning?
That gun that had Thunder locked up for a hot minute?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, the minute he was to let that trigger go, over with. Like, over with in a split second. The only thing that's holding her is that trigger. Like, if he would have let that go, it would have been a wrap. Because as soon as Jefferson got him to deflect that energy somewhere else, she was back to normal.
But, I mean, I don't think we necessarily know that for sure. Because, again,
what he gonna do?
Well, I'm saying
we don't know. Here's what I'm saying. We don't know. We don't know what the guns do. Do they drain their energy or do they just hold them? But all we saw it do was this one thing.
You know what I was thinking about, though? I feel like Jen would probably be immune to something like that because she's a generator. She absorbs everything. Energy.
I feel like Jen's going to be the one-off where they're like, how far do your powers go? Yeah. It's going to be like Legion, where you're like, oh man, this one kid's amongst like very powerful people. Oh no, we're nothing compared to him. He could undo all of us. Well, I feel like Jen's the same
She disappears
way.
In her powers, so I mean, they're not going to do nothing.
Well, she's tired so easily.
Well, not only that, but she launched Jefferson, but then was able to fight like a few minutes later. Like, that's a lot of
Learn
power.
How to direct her energy and, to take somebody out.
And she's young. Jefferson's powers don't fully manifest for another like 5 or 6 years if we're putting them on the same timeline.
Yeah.
So if he was like 12 gonna grow.
When his father died and he said it took him 15 years, then Jen got a whole another 15 years too.
Well, in the comics, she does have, like, power-wise, she is the strongest out of all three. So
she's the most powerful.
I definitely think she's going to be a
force. She's the most powerful. Thunder is the strongest, though.
Well, I mean, there's different ways you can use strong as a definition for somebody. Because technically, Thunder is the strongest because of her
physical appearance.
Physical, you know, her power is more physical. Jen's more powerful and stronger because she's a generator. When you're a generator, that's a lot of power you could use, and it could take out a whole city. Like, once it's, like, developed.
She dang near a walking bomb.
Basically.
Yeah. Apparently, she will, in fact, become Lightning in season 2. The showrunners confirmed it. Thank you, Ivan, for that.
And she can fly, apparently.
Yeah. Well,
she can fly?
It's not... Is it technically flying? I feel like she kind of... I don't know how to explain
Covers?
It.
Covers?
Technically, she can fly, yes.
Okay.
That is a thing. I don't know how to explain...
I mean, but Gambi exactly put how works, flying but... power in Black Lightning suit, too.
But no, that's like his suit, more where Jennifer could probably just do that herself.
Lift herself up off the ground.
Without the suit.
I'm here for it.
But we have to see... I don't think we're going to see it, like, anytime soon. I think it's going to be one of those things that maybe it happens, like... Season 4 or season 3. Like,
Flight's got to be a far way off. Especially from the network that brought us Krypton, or no, Smallville, and when it took us forever and a day to get to Flight, we're in the final season of like a 12-season show. It's going to be a minute.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I concur. I am here for it. I mean, we don't have that much time left.
No.
We do, actually.
I don't want to turn
it
up. I lied.
I lied. I lied. I lied. I was looking at the wrong... I was looking at the wrong clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about this season, because I feel like this was a bomb-ass season. What was your favorite part of this entire season?
Jennifer shooting at Martin after he said what he said, because, first of all, that's a stereotype, and I really wanted to hit him myself. But, like, when she was just like, oh, really? That was for me. I'm done. I was like,
yeah, because he came for the black community.
And I was, I'm like, at that point, Jennifer, please shoot him up. Thank you so much.
Fun fact, white people are the on welfare more than any other race. So
that's true.
You know, in case y'all want to be on that Proctor life, you should know your facts.
But Proctor, Hollis Doyle, he be on some stuff, let me tell y'all. But he said a lot of stuff. Like, he was coming for them so much. Like, even when Lala was in them cuffs, he like, y'all people ain't used to that. Like, he really was disrespectful on so many levels. He deserved every bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, he deserved to die. He deserved to get them thumbs cut off, all that. Like, all of it.
I'm having a hard time picking my favorite moment of the season. It's either Jennifer's fight with her school bully at the roller rink.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just, I feel like, especially if you grew up as a black kid, like, that moment is very memorable. Like, I didn't grow up in the generation of cell phones, but I remember the beatdowns at the roller rink. Mm-hmm. Or it's the Black Lightning Thunder fight before they know who each other is, because that was just
dynamic. That's a fight for me too.
I love that.
That was a good fight. That was a good one.
I think for me, my favorite moments aren't even necessarily superhero moments. I think I just loved seeing a powerful black family for once be in like good lighting, and it be like there's not really any it was nice to see a family written where they're not stereotypically black, but they're still black. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It was like, yes, I can relate to you. You're not like what we've seen families, you know, the mom isn't loud and bobbing her head, which that is a lot of black people, but it's also not a lot of black people. Like, we come in many shapes, forms, personalities, and it was just nice to see, you know, this well-respected black family on TV and to see them go through different things and there to be so many different dimensions. So I think all of the moments where we got to see them, like, where it became a family drama, not just a superhero show, I think I really like those moments.
I got my favorite moment. Okay. So my favorite moment is real mushy because I love, but this is pre-Painkiller Khalil. When Jen was just going through about being kidnapped and she's smoking and drinking and do all of this, and he, you know, he run up on her in the workout room and he like, you gotta stop because we gonna get out of here and you gonna be with me. Like, I'm using my legs to get up out of here. We gonna be running together, like, just to take that flight and get up out of Freeland to our freedom. When he did that, you know, it brought a lot of things into perspective. And it's just like how I would want my man to lead me when he see me going through. Wow. When he see me going through, to just, you know, talk some sense into me and get me back on the right track. And that did help her, even though he went off on a long run and the bad end after that. And, you know, she still stayed sane. We haven't seen her go back to the drugs and alcohol since that moment.
Yeah. I love AMPM, right? Free in the chat. He said Portia had to be a mob boss in her past life.
Dang. I wonder what my past life was.
I can't.
Man, I'm serious. Like, do y'all ever think about that? Ain't no past life.
First of all, we in the resurrection here. Yes, there is past lives.
Okay.
Girl, this is a superhero show. You already know it's not real. Anyway. So there was a, last night, Anissa, who's played by Nafisa. I always want to.
Yeah. Nafisa.
Nafisa. She did a Q&A, and they asked her, someone asked her, who do you wish you got to do more scenes with? And she said Grace for Chantal. Mm-hmm. And so someone said, you know, like, does that mean she's gonna come back? And she just kind of like, it was like a tweet and delete, but she like did like a winky face. So I'm like 99.9% positive we're gonna see Grace next season. And
I think Sky also mentioned Grace to us in a way that was very like nudge wink, like, what did you think of her? We had her on the show. And I did see somebody tweet me earlier today that their greatest disappointment was that Grace only was here for like two episodes. And I was like, you know, same. I understand the decision. Like, a lot of the queer community were like, don't kill our lesbians off, like, please let us keep one. Like, we like to see the relationships where we can get them. But I also understand, like, this season is so much about bringing a family together that we didn't have a lot of time for a lot of outside relationships. I imagine season two is going to bring us a lot more of Jefferson with, oh my God, police captain. Why am I blinking on
Henderson.
With Henderson. Which props to Henderson this episode for being like,
no.
How are you not going to?
I don't get what he said, so called Black Lightning Thunder. You get no love for that one.
No.
Yeah, so-called he didn't have to do him like that.
I think he does. Okay, look, guys, we talked about Henderson before. Henderson cannot be out in these streets like, yeah, Black Lightning. He's not allowed. He's lawful good. He has to stick to the law. And he even says in his speech, like, look, I don't condone vigilantism. I can't because then the whole city's going to go nuts. But we owe a debt of credit to these people for doing this, for alerting us. I feel like that's a really great way to say, look, we're with the community. We see what's going on out here. We would prefer we would be able to handle these tasks. But we live in a city where, unfortunately, that's not always possible. It's why these cities need a Batman. It's why these cities need a Black Lightning.
Baby, we're not saying he wrong. We're not saying you wrong. We're saying that he was having a very professional speech, and he could have kept it professional without slighting anybody. That's what we're saying.
And I'm saying he could not have, because in order to remain professional and remain lawful good, you
what's
cannot...
wrong with saying we owe our thanks to Black Lightning and Thunder? The end. What's wrong with saying that? Why do we have to say so-called?
Every time they do a react, anytime they act, it's going to be, oh, and here's the clip of that time Police Commissioner Henderson, like, okay.
He has mentioned his name plenty of times without saying so-called.
Well, also, I kind of actually agree.
When he's being a detriment to them, when he was saying we need to get him off the street, he was saying they shouldn't be doing these things. If you're going to praise them, you need to also admonish them as a figurehead for the police.
We just didn't like the so-called term. That's all, baby. Yeah. It's okay.
I do agree with Joelle, because I think, you know, Black Lightning and Thunder don't necessarily do everything by the book, and so by condoning what they do, you're then condoning of breaking the law, and Henderson, who's such a black and white character, has to be, like, in the light, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can't just, like, be lenient towards them, because at the end of the day, it, like, worked out in their favor, you know?
So you saying that he has to interrupt his professional speech to do something, to slight somebody because it's the right way to go because of the people?
I think, like, it's a political move. I think Henderson's in a position where he's not just dealing with the people of Freeland who support Black Lightning. Just like we've seen, you know, on the news clips, we've seen people be like, oh, you know, Black Lightning did this, I heard this, blah, 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 and they speak him in a negative light. Or like when Jefferson got arrested and there was, you know, that white lady who was so quick to turn on him and she'd never met him. It's a political thing. He doesn't agree with it, but he has to play the politics so that he can remain in a position of power. Sometimes you have to appeal to the masses so that you can do the greater good. So it's like he has to keep this facade. Meanwhile, I mean, Black Lightning knows what's good. Like, it's not like Black Lightning's taking Annie.
And the people know what's good, too, because all of them were saying it beforehand, before he even made that speech. They like, well, we had to find out that they putting crack in our neighborhoods and putting green light and doing these vaccines and stuff from Black Lightning and Thunder. Yeah. Like, they didn't shade them, I guess, because they're not Henderson and in power. But, I mean, either way it go, everybody's letting their voices be heard without having to throw in some little dirt.
Ideally, Henderson is looking for the least amount of chaos and doing it by the books as much as possible. And so he has to make moves that will ensure both of those things. And so I think, he's just playing the cards to how he needs to. I don't think he really means that it's like...
But he called him a vigilante.
And I think he can
he's the definition of a vigilante.
Yeah, I think he has to. Right. In reality, Black Lightning doesn't follow the law. He doesn't do what what he does is for the greater good, and what he does, you know, at the end of the day works out. But he doesn't follow the law.
It is not possible to break and enter. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with him calling him that either. I'm saying that could have been enough, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I loved how the lady in her interview, she said, people always say, just no matter what race, like, we're paranoid until the truth comes out. And then, we're not paranoid no more.
Oh, like the Starbucks people who were like, there's got to be more to this story.
There wasn't.
No, that was it. That's the whole thing.
Which, to everyone who was trying to argue that, by the way, I used to work at Starbucks. You're literally not allowed to kick anyone out. That is the one place where you can just sit there all damn day.
For hours.
And they're not allowed to move you. Even when you're disruptive, there's still a whole procedure you have to follow.
Yeah.
So, sip on that tea.
All I know is taking store. My computer to Starbucks and sitting there and doing work, like, even when I don't buy anything. Mm-hmm. I get some water.
Let's get into some predictions for season two, because I feel like there's a lot of different directions that season two can go in.
It's going to be okay, Portia.
Do we think there's still hope for Khalil?
No.
What do you mean?
Do we think Khalil can make a turnaround?
Yes.
You mean make a turnaround onto the good side?
Yeah.
If he take out Tobias and Deadeye, girl.
I feel like if he takes out Cyanide, there's hope for him. But I really, if there is a turnaround, it won't be anytime soon.
Y'all, Khalil was enjoying his black ass tonight. He was like, you're a dad, He's like, come on, Cyanide, we look great together. I don't mean, like, I'm not trying to ship them. I'm just saying, like, as a team, like, they look coordinated. They look good. Like, they are now generals in the front line. Like, maybe season 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, we might get a turnaround from Khalil. Maybe he sees the light. But for right now, he is having a good time being evil.
Well, I don't know if it's a turnaround for him, but I am looking forward to see that fight between him and Jen. I'm looking forward to that because I know she gonna kick his butt.
I do think there's hope for him. I would actually, and this isn't, I don't think this is by the comic at all, but, you know, CW doesn't necessarily always do the comic thing. I think it would be cool if somehow he, if they do bring in the outsiders, since they've kind of hinted towards it, and since there's those stage 2-4 pod babies, I think maybe them, let's throw in, you know, Khalil, maybe Grace. I'm trying to see some outsiders, you know? I wouldn't be mad at that. I would like that.
Yeah. But do y'all think, like, when Anissa and Grace get together that Grace is gonna automatically be a villain? Like, you don't think she's...
No.
Why would she be a villain?
I'm saying, like, she's saying if you put them all together, the villain army that I created,
no, the outsiders are the good people.
Outsiders were good
guys.
Oh,
I was talking about the pod babies.
Well, the pod babies.
Because I think they're a villain army. And so when she said they, her
they're
with
trying
them.
To be a, he's trying to make a villain
Oh, but
army.
You're saying that they're the outsiders.
I think, I mean, it's not like by the comic, but I think that would be a cool way to bring in the outsiders.
Oh, no. When I thought she was just talking about the villain army, that the pod babies, that's what I was
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah, because, I mean, the pod babies aren't evil. They're victims in all of this. And so they're really, like, I feel like we are going to see them next season. And it really is going to be a choice. Like, they're going to have the choice to, you know, go either way. And so I think it would be cool if even we get some of them.
Even if all of next season is just a fight between, like, Black Lightning and Tobias to secure these children. Because it makes a lot of sense with Black Lightning's
the whole
mission
season,
to, like, protect.
We get tired of it.
Not, there's, like, what, like, 6 to 12 of the kids in there?
There's four stage two.
All the level ones died.
Okay.
Because they weren't able to, like, morph.
A whole season would be a lot. I don't know why I thought there were a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
But even if it's just the four for maybe like a couple of episodes as we try to figure out who's going to be where, especially because I just want to see an Amazon. Like, can we please? I'm ready for it. I want to more relationships. I want to see. It'll be interesting to see, too, what. Obviously, Tobias is going to be our main conflict, but they have really great sub-conflicts this season, especially looking, like, mirroring real-world issues. I'll be curious to see, like, what they bring in next season. Are we going to be looking maybe less at police brutality and more at school system corruption, which is a huge problem, especially looking at, like, Oklahoma, where kids are copying textbooks on scanners so they can do the night's homework.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see things like that. Maybe more of a political government kind of thing, especially now that we know Tobias isn't working with the ASA anymore. Mm-hmm. My guess is he still has political ties, and I would like to see more of that. How is that being run? Let's get a mayor involved. Superhero shows are never, like, getting their peak until we get a mayor involved. And I would like to see who is running the city. Let it be a Black woman. And, like, how is that operating? How are we going to run through that?
Yeah, I'm honestly tired of the Tobias and Black Lightning thing, but I know the show is run off that, so whatever. But I feel like, you know, he's going to, because he calls himself the king, he's going to take this, the rest of this green light and these vaccines and stuff, and he's going to make somebody recreate the formulas, and he's going to, you know, populate it some more, get some more people, create some more villains, and he's just going to be out here trying to villainize everybody.
Looking like a light-skinned M'Baku.
Light-skinned M'Baku, Jesus, be a gift.
Hey, he's stronger than M'Baku.
Let's see that fight. I will buy tickets.
Tobias, like, M'Baku can get hands real quick.
hands. I'm not about to play with you.
I'm excited to see, like, how Jennifer, now that she kind of accepted her powers. I want to see her like just really focus on, like, controlling them and controlling her energy levels, like, after she uses them. Because I feel like that's going to be, like, one of the things that might be her downfall. Yeah. Like, how she handles the energy after it's expended from her.
Have a Dark Phoenix moment and just blow everything up. I really want to see Anissa go back to medical school or be doing her medical things. We mostly saw her doing kind of the teacher thing, a little bit of the dating thing, and a little bit of fighting. I want to see her, like, in, like, med school. I want to see her, like, helping people and solving problems that way. Especially because how are you going, as somebody who is so destructive, how do you counterbalance that with healing and helping and stuff?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see those kind of dynamics play out in her.
Since we have to wrap up, let's talk about the very end of the episode. Sinai brings Proctor's thumbs, which gross. Also, I thought they were kind of small for Proctor, but
you guys, what have I been asking for? The return of the harpoon! It was back! I was so excited!
one. It was back.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
What do we think is in the case?
Green light. The vaccines.
I think it's the whereabouts to the other pod, maybe, babies. Because he said this is, like, I am now the king. So maybe he's going to, like, give the ASA a new agent. Like, he's going to be the new agent that, like, takes over whatever Parker was working on or didn't know about.
It was a literal
I think it was
light.
The vaccines because when they asked, when Liam was like, how can I get these pods out of here? He was basically like, we can't do nothing without that briefcase.
Yeah.
And whatever is in the briefcase, whatever liquid, vaccine, whatever they have is going to help these people be able to get out of there without dying. Mm-hmm. And it's probably what Tobias was shooting at himself in the episode, you know, getting all that power and strength and redoing whatever he was doing himself.
I buy that. Yeah. Guys.
No. I don't want it to end!
Now I went Portia. It's sad now.
I know.
We're not crying?
It's been a fun season. Before we, you know, say goodbye, we have a fan of the week that we wanted to shout out. Shay,
I have it. Hold on. Sorry.
Has
I
it?
Okay, so I am shouting out Jovian Jeff, who left a comment on last week when we had Sky as a guest.
Hey, come on, fan of the week drop.
Hey,
fan of the week, fan of the week, fan of the week.
Okay, so he's commented. He said, "Love you, girls. That was another fantastic episode to go along with a fantastic, fantastic episode of Black Lightning. Thank you, Miss Sky, for being on the show. I wish I had more to say, but as you do every week, you cover the facts and you do it with energy that continues what I feel about each episode each week. I will admit, this episode I laughed harder than most. So thanks for the cheers and tears of joy and laughter. Best to you all."
He comments every week saying the sweetest things.
Yeah, he does.
So he's really one of my faves, too.
Yes.
Well, he is our fan of the week, so he's a fave.
Love to you.
Guys, this is...
I'm really trying to prolong this. I just want you all...
I mean, they will cut us off.
We have... We have a timer in the studio, and if you see me looking away, that's why, because I'm like...
We're not going to cry?
No, we're not crying.
2 more seconds.
Because we're going to be back for season 2. Yeah. So until season 2...
Let's pray they bring me back.
They're going to bring you back, Sammy. The whole show will riot.
Oh, the fans will go crazy.
Where can they find you, ladies?
I can't. Girl, if you don't get it together...
I don't want it to end. Okay. Alright, y'all know y'all. Okay. Y'all know y'all can find me on all things at Portia Carter. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me on Tuesdays on Rise at 9 p.m. Guys, this season was amazing. Thank you so much for having us all here. I'm almost gonna cry. So
what the heck? Oh my God. I'm not gonna cry because this face is beat, honey. But, my name's Drew Jones. You guys can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ, or you can head over. I'm about to do iZombie. You know me. I'm on all things CW. Or you can check us out, you know, Thursday nights. Me and Joel are Atlanta. And, or
get it.
Tune in tonight for Famous in Love because we have the incredibly handsome Keith Powers on the show. So.
And Riverdale because we have Baby Killamonger.
Oh, yeah. Khalil's on Riverdale. So check it out. We'll see
and
you guys.
I'll promote my next show when I'm on it.
We'll see you guys next season. Mwah. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.